In the paper today, I have a little summary of the third chapter of Romans. The 26th chapter of the third chapter, 26th verse of the third chapter of Romans has always been a key to me, a key scripture. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And the reason that this struck me is I had to work through this over a long time. But first of all, to declare, this is God proclaiming, I say, at this time, his righteousness, colon. And that righteousness is two factors, that God may be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, the way that I looked upon that, that couldn't be. In other words, the justice of God must remain. Abraham said in the 18th chapter of Genesis, would not the God of the world do right? Certainly would. That's an absolute. So if God is to remain just, he can't justify the wicked. He has to be true throughout. So what does belief have to do with it? It's mere belief would not do anything with the law. Belief was hardly mentioned. In fact, the only way that belief was mentioned in the law service was the degree of punishment that one had with regard to one was doing it purposely or just simply inadvertently. There was a difference in that way. But belief had very little to do in the sense of the word of justification under the law of service. You break one law and you're gone. Basically, the law was so severe that, in fact, this chapter says no one is just under that law. I won't go into the whole thing, but as you read the article, that's my purpose, is to examine and explain that 26th chapter. I believe that's not a common sinner there. That's a sinner redeemed by the blood of Christ, believing in Jesus, or else it would make any sense at all. God could be just, and he simply, at the same time, remain just, and yet justify the wicked. That cannot stand side by side. That's the dichotomy, and that's the reason I put the Romans chapter 3 as a little summary of the chapter in today's newsletter. Come ahead, Brother Allen.
Amen. I wasn't ready for you to quit. John 17 has been on my mind for several weeks. But this morning, if the Lord would bless us, we'd like to speak a little while to you about some of the things in John 17. This is the most awesome chapter, I think, in the book of John. Of course, it's the we could call it the Lord's Prayer. This is the high priestly prayer that the Lord prayed. He prayed this as a man, as the man Christ Jesus, and he has been upon the earth in his ministry three and a half years. He's now coming down to the very end of his ministry, and he's ready to be offered as the sacrifice for our sins. But in this chapter, he says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven." So he said, "These words spake Jesus." So the words that he spake, and particularly, I believe, is beginning all the way back in the 13th chapter and going all the way through 13, 14, 15, 16. And then in 17, he begins to pray for his apostles and his children. He says, "I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that thou hast given me out of the world." So when he is looking here from this standpoint, it's interesting when you look at the reason for Jesus' message You go back up into even to the 33rd verse of the previous chapter. These things have I spoken unto you. He is here telling you the reason for his message. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. You know, there is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. The world says peace, but there is no peace. But he says, these things have I spoken unto me, that ye might have peace. In the world, this is just pretty much a promise, a fact, that in the world you're going to have tribulations. In the world, you're going to have troubles. In the world, you're going to have sadness and sorrow and all the things that go along with it. But in the midst of all of this in the world, in the midst of this world of trouble and sorrow, we can find peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but be of good cheer. Be happy. I have overcome the world. And this is the essence of these verses. I want to read the first five verses. If we get even a portion of this, we will be doing well this morning. These things spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus here is speaking as if he had already accomplished all the work. He said, I finished the work. Well, he hasn't gone to the cross. He hasn't been resurrected. He hasn't even died yet, but he said, I finished the work. And when we look at these points, and all, even up until the very moment of his death, even the very last moments of his death, was a fulfillment of a scripture. He says, when he was on the cross, he says, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. So everything that was written about Jesus in the Old Testament is coming to pass, and the things that was prophesied about him, and he is now ready to be offered. And as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He has now come to be offered. And it says, the hour is come. There are several places within the book of John that they tried to catch Jesus. They would tempt him. They'd do all these things. And he said they couldn't do it because his hour wasn't yet come. It wasn't time for him to be offered. But now it is time. This is the very hour. This is the very moment that he came to do. And that is to give a sacrifice for his people. And it says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. The word power there, it's interesting that the word power here means authority. There's two words for the word power in the New Testament. One comes from the word dunamis or dynamite, which means power, ability, strength. But this one means authority. He has given him authority to give eternal life to all that the Father gave to him. He has this delegated authority as the Son of God to give eternal life to all that was given to him by the Father in the covenant before the foundation of the world. And I have said this last, when we were studying these verses, Brother Eric, I said, I can tell you exactly to the nth degree all that's going to be in heaven. And it's going to be all that was given to the Son by the Father. Not one less, not one more. All shall be with him in eternal glory. And this is the essence of the gospel. And that's why he says, and this is life eternal. We had a kind of a little discussion about this, about this is life eternal, that ye might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And the question here is this, which comes first, knowing him or eternal life? I mean, that's a fundamental point. But do you come to know Jesus in order to have eternal life, or do you know him because you have? Now that may be a sticky point. But I believe that it is an important point. Do we believe in order to become children of God, or do we have eternal life and then we believe? See, that's the point. Now, when we look at these points, and I want to go back in, I'm going to probably stay right here in John, because he's bringing all of these things, Brother Tom, all of these things that we've read in John, he's bringing them all together here in this particular point. So, you go back into the sixth chapter of John, and he says this, the apostles there would say, murmur not, he said, unto them, among yourselves. No man can come to me. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. These points is just what he has been reiterating, if you can, what he said over in the fifth chapter and all that he says, in chapter five. He says, search the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Read the Bible. Search the scriptures, for them, in them, you think you have eternal life. In the scriptures, you think you have eternal. In other words, by doing this and following the scriptures and following all the things that the scriptures teach, you think you can have eternal life by doing those things. But he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but those scriptures are they which testify of me. They bear witness of what I have done and what I, and so everything that Jesus was doing while he was here on this earth was a fulfillment of everything that was prophesied about him in the Old Testament. And he came to fulfill all of those things. And then we go a little bit further down in John 6. It is written in the prophets. Where? It's written in the prophets. They shall all be taught of God. All who? All that was given to him. We're speaking here of him giving to his children eternal life. I don't know if we can even grab a hold or embrace what eternal life really is. Eternal life. So what's eternal? That means never ending. People say, well, then everlasting and eternal and everlasting, are they the same? Yes, they are. Because eternal is everlasting and everlasting is eternal. They're both the same. So if you have eternal life, you have everlasting life. And this is the points that Jesus is making throughout these verses in John. He says, as it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, he says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, listen to this verse. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Not you will have everlasting life if you will believe on me. You see, we don't have the horse pushing the cart. We have to get him in the proper order. Belief comes after eternal life. And you don't, it would be kind of strange for me to say that a person that is dead in trespasses and sin, he has no life in him, but this person who is dead in sin must believe in order to be born again. It just doesn't work that way. It says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, if you don't believe any other points in this, let's believe that belief comes after eternal life. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. Now then, you go back, let's go over to the 10th chapter of John. Now, Jesus is dealing with this element throughout this whole book of those who are challenging him, those who are trying to trick him, those who are trying to get him arrested, and all the things that they tried to do to him. There's always those that are challenging him. And there are always going to be people who are challenging you to tell them what you believe. Now notice, John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came Jesus round about him and said unto them, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, Tell us plain. If you're the Christ, just tell us if you are. My goodness, he's been telling them in 9 chapters up to this point, you know. But they said, if you're the Christ, just tell us plainly. Well, don't ask Jesus to tell you plain if you don't want to hear plain. He tells them plain. He says, Jesus says, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He said, if you don't believe me for who I say I am, just believe me because of the works that I do. How many of you have ever seen somebody that's been blind from their birth, been able to see? And how many of you ever seen somebody that's dead come to life? All of these things are in the concept of what Jesus is saying. If you don't believe me for who I say I am, just believe me because of the works that I do. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. What do they bear witness of me of? They bear witness of me that I am the eternal Son of God. They bear witness to me that I am who I say I am. I am the King. We go down through these verses in John 18, last time we were together, Pilate asked him, he says, are you a king? Jews had come and brought him to Caiaphas, the high priest and so forth. And he comes to Pilate. He said, are you a king? He says, thou sayest. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world. Because if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto you? You know, when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, who was the boaster, the big, proud fisherman, had boasted that he would go with the Lord all the way to the end and he would never leave him or forsake him. And during that time, when Judas came to betray him, he pulls out his sword and he goes whack and he goes right across. And I believe maybe he might have been aiming for his head and kind of missed it and sliced off his ear. Jesus says, put your sword up, Peter. Do you not understand this? In one of the scriptures, he says, don't you know this, that I have 12 legions of angels at my command? That I could call, and you think about 12 legions, that's 144,000, I think, 12 legions. But how many angels does it take to defeat some of these people? You know, Jesus, even when he said, you're looking for Jesus, and we're looking for him, who is Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I'm he, I am he. And they fell back on the grounds just at the power from his speaking word. So don't tell me that you're here to take me without me allowing you. I mean, Jesus did, they did not kill the Lord. They killed him, but they didn't, he gave himself into them. They didn't take his life is what I'm saying. But here he says, I told you and you believe not the works of my Father, my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not. Why do you not believe? Now this is Jesus telling them plain. Tell me plain. You do not believe because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They don't all follow him in discipleship. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say everyone of Jesus' elect and everyone that believes in him, everyone that has eternal life will one day follow him in obedience to the gospel and come and confess him and all the things that is required in discipleship. We do not believe that. We believe that everyone that was given to the Father shall follow him in regeneration. They shall follow him and eternal life shall be given to every one of them. That's what the scripture said in John. I give unto them eternal life. And all that the Father gave to me shall come to me. Not one will be lost. Not one single one. Now, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Do all of them follow him in obedience to the gospel? There's some here that haven't. Does that mean you're not his sheep? My sheep hear my voice. You heard the voice. Now there is an invitation for discipleship. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is an invitation to follow him in discipleship, taking the yoke upon him, But brothers and sisters, this is not an invitation here. Jesus is not giving these unbelievers who are not as sheep an opportunity to become sheep. When do you become a sheep? You were a sheep before. God didn't make sheep out of goats. You're not goats. And then he turns you. He said, those that he do not believe, those who are not his sheep, those who are not his elect, he calls them goats in Matthew chapter 28. He doesn't make sheep out of goats. You're sheep because you're a sheep, he follows you. You follow him. He is the shepherd and he calls you. Now, he said, I give unto them, who? The elect, those that was given to him. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. That is the most awesome statement here. He said, I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. The eternal life, brothers and sisters, is a gift. It comes sovereignly as a gift from God. You know, the rich young ruler, I've studied a lot on him here recently. He comes running to the Lord and he says, good master, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? One place he says, good master, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? What do you do to get an inheritance? How do you inherit something? You know, there's at least three ways you can be an heir. You can be born into a family, you can be adopted into a family, and you can marry into a family. But it's not up to you to do something to become an heir. But Jesus said, Jesus did not rebuke him. You know, what would we say? What good thing? I mean, if we ask this question, we go out and we take an opinion poll and we say, we go out on the street. You know, I don't know how many of you watch Waters World, but he goes out and he asks all these questions along different places. And he says, what good thing? What do you think you need to do to become a child of God? That's what he's asking. What good thing might I do that I may have eternal life? What's the answer? Well, some would say, well, you have to hear the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. You have to understand the gospel. You have to confess your mouth. And you have to do all these things. And then you can become a child of God. Brother, that's backwards, isn't it? Isn't that backwards? You become born again, then you hear the gospel, then you believe, and then you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The gospel is that which identifies his children. Doesn't make them. But we see this in the rich young ruler. He says, well, Jesus says, well, what does the law say? Some people say, well, if you just keep the Ten Commandments, you know, that would be a good place to start, wouldn't it, Brother Bill? Woo! What do you have to do to become a child of God? Just keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, what's the first one? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy heart. Have you done that one yet? Have you made it? You tell me that you kept the first one? You know, the Lord, in James, he said, if you break one, you broke them all. So when it comes down to what must I do to inherit eternal life, keep the commandments. Well, when you get past that first one, let me know. Thou shalt love, and Jesus magnifies that in another place. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, all thy heart, and all thy mind, and all thy strength. Then he says, then he goes down the rest of those commandments. And Jesus, he puts these out there to him. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt no do no murder. You shall honor your father and your mother. And all these things that the Ten Commandments say. And he says, well, master, I've already done all that. I've already completed all that. I'm doing good. I have never done any murder. I've never committed adultery. I've never lied about nobody. He said, I'm pretty well there, aren't I? He says, just one thing. One thing you like. Just one. Well, what is it, Lord? He said, sell all that you got. and come and give to the poor. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor and come and follow me. Well, the man went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great riches. What's the 10th commandment? What's the 10th commandment? Number 10. Do you know what number 10 is? We know what number 1 is, but what's number 10? Do you know? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Covetousness is idolatry. So when you're a covetous person, then you have broken the second commandment. So how are we going to get saved? And this was the question the apostles, they asked the Lord. He said, well, and he went away sorrowful, very sorrowful, because he had great riches. And you know, some will say, Brother Eric, well, he almost got saved. He almost made it. But he just wasn't quite there yet. You see, what did Jesus say? He said, the apostles were amazed at this, Brother Tom. They said, well, who can be saved? Now, this is what Jesus says. And Brother Eric, I thought about this as Brother Bill was saying your Spanish to you. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, I'd rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. If you, Brother Eric, if you can go down there and just speak 5 words. You got them, brother.
I think I'm 7.
Well, here, let me give you 5. With God, this is impossible. That's 5. Do you understand those? He said, I'd rather speak 5 words with understanding. I think, did the apostles get the message? How can man be saved? With God, this is impossible. Let me give you 5 more. By grace ye are saved. It's not by your works. It's not of anything you do. Therefore, Jesus said to the apostles there, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say eternal heaven. He said the kingdom. There's a kingdom that we enter into by following after Jesus. And it's hard for a rich man to enter there. Because he's got to take off all of his garbage and all of his baggage. And he's got to be able to give more to others than he does himself. With men, this is impossible. But he says this, Brother Eric. I'm sure glad he didn't leave it there. He said, but with God, all things are possible. To them that, what? Believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Belief is an important point. But brethren, belief is that which magnifies and illustrates who you are. Now, we can go over, and I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Let's go over to 1 John. Brother Bill assigned this book to us. He said, now, when we finish John 17, he said, now I want you to go, and your assignment is, your homework is, go read 1 John chapter 2. That's a powerful chapter. John 3:16, magic text. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is that a conditional text? What is believeth? Whosoever, and if you look the word, Brother Eric, I know you've already done this, but he said if you look the word believeth, it's a present tense participle, and it means whosoever is believing in Jesus. Whosoever is presently, right now, that's what he said. If you believe in Jesus, you already have eternal life. Not you don't believe in order to get it, but you believe because you have it. Now that's simple, isn't it? Why is it so hard for our brothers and sisters to believe this? Amen. They want glory. Now, what did he say, Brother Eric? Love not the world. You know, Jesus over there, he said, I pray not for the world. But he prayed not for the world. But he loved the world. My goodness, Jesus, if you love the world, why wouldn't you pray for them? He said, I pray not for the world, but them that's given me out of the world. Now, the word world is a big term. The word world covers the world of things. The word world is all that's under consideration in that particular chapter, in that text. Now, when he says, love not the world. Now, and here's the contrast Brother Bill wants us to see. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. But here he says, for us, God loved the world. He says, don't you love the world? You mean to tell me that Jesus loved the world and he tells me not to love the world? And he won't pray for the world? What kind of Savior we got here? But you understand something, that the word world doesn't mean the same thing every time. There's a world of the non-elect out there. There's a world of unbelievers. There is this world that we're living on. We live on the world. We live in the world. There's a world of people that don't believe the message that we're believing. But you know what I want to do? And I pray so much for this brother. What I want him to do is find those that are and give them the gospel, brother, that they may have what Jesus wants them to have. What does he want them to have? I'm going to tell you. I hope you understand. I'm going to tell you what Jesus wants you to do. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You get it? Love not the world, neither the things in the world. That covers a lot of stuff, doesn't it? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. What world passes away? Read 2 Peter chapter 3 and you'll find out what world passes away. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Oh, isn't that awesome? Now then, I want to turn to 1 John chapter 5. Oh, there's so much good in this. Now, John chapter 5, I mean, over in John, I guess it was John 5. Anyway, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John chapter 5 says about the same thing, doesn't he? Notice what he says in 1 John chapter 5. Brother Eric, this is a wonderful text for you. I hope you don't think I'm picking on you. Oh, I love you, brother. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, not will be born of God, if they will believe, but whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. The Father loves you. The Father loves Jesus. And he says, Father, you have loved them. Love, I want you to love them like you love me before the foundation of the world. Now then, there's a lot. I got to get to verse 13 right there. This is good stuff right here. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now then, pause for a minute. Put a little pause right there. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He identifies who he's talking to then. Who's he talking to? He said, these things have I written to you that believe. This is not talking about unbelievers. And that's why over in the chapter where Brother Bill quoted from in Romans, he said, what if some do not believe? Shall that make the faith of God without effect? He said, God forbid. He said, let every man be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Not that every man's a liar, but if you teach that Jesus, that you have to do these particular things in order to become a child of God, he says, that's a lie. Now, he's writing to those that believe. These things I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that you have eternal life, The way that you know that you have eternal life is when you believe on the name of the Son of God. And there is a lot of different evidences that we have, but the main one, the one that is the most awesome of all, is if do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that He came at the appointed time in the Father? Do you believe that He fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle? Do you believe He's right now today sitting at God's right hand, and one day He's coming back again to take us all to eternal glory? Do you believe that? Then if you believe that, you have eternal life. Not you will, but you got it now. You know, it says in this John chapter 3, it said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall, I quoted it exactly wrong. It said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven. You don't have to wait until you do certain things, but you have eternal life now. You have it now. There's something inside of you that is born of God. It's called a new creature in Christ. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you become a new creature. And that creature inside of you is ready right now to go to heaven. Doesn't need any changing. And when these bodies, but I want to speak this to the Harris family. Your dear mother is already in heaven. Your dear sweet mother is already, she had eternal life when she was here. And now she is being manifested in all that she believed. She is now in realizing those things. She'll never have another sick moment. She'll never have another pain. She's with the Lord today, rejoicing in the goodness of His love. And she'll never get any older. You know that, Rhonda? She'll never get any older. I kind of believe that she might be about 35 or so now. I don't know. But she doesn't have any pains because she had and has eternal. What's eternal? You know, say, well, how long is everlasting? Well, it's as long as it lasts. Well, it's eternal, everlasting lasts as long as it lasts. Well, how long is it going to last? Till eternity. You see, if there was an end to everlasting, then it wouldn't be eternal. Now then, notice again, he said, these things, I don't want to stop there, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says, I'm writing these things to you, so that you may believe more on Him. Jesus said, I come in John 10:10. I've heard Brother Bill speak about this several times. He said, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. We have eternal life. We have it. We're not going to lose it. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and it says that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. So if you have eternal life, it will never end. And your home is in heaven. You say, well, I might lose it. If you lose it, it wouldn't be eternal. But it is. Now then, He said, these things have I written unto you, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the Son of God. The gospel is the message about grace. It's the message of things that God has done for us. The gospel is that which tells you about eternal life. And brethren and sister, there is a power in the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Now, the word power there, it's a different word. It's dunamis, which means, it means dynamite. There is something inside of you that is stored up, that has power, and all it's waiting for is to be unloosed. You are a bundle of potentiality. You have eternal life abiding in you. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This text is to the believers. It didn't say one word to the unbeliever. For he says, for in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's to those, the gospel is to those that have faith. If I don't believe, my message ought not be up here. But the faith that I have in the truth of this gospel is being conveyed to you, who you, if you have faith and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then, and these gospel messages resonates within you, and it reveals to you not your righteousness. We have no righteousness. It says that in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. He said, for the just shall live by faith. That's what you're doing, brother, walking out on that faith. I don't know if I'd have that. I don't know if I could do that or not. Just pick up and leave. That's what Abraham did. He said, God told him, he said, Abraham, get thee up and get thee out to a land which thou knowest not. He said he got up, he went out, not knowing where he was going. That's faith. 1 John chapter 4, he says, and these things write we unto you. Why did he write these things? What does he want us to know? He said, these things write unto you that your joy may be full. Joy. Oh, when you think about joy now, joy, Brother Bill quoted that in his article, Galatians 5:22. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot have joy in the midst of this evil world, in the midst of all the trouble, the trials and the sorrows and all these things. You cannot have joy in your heart and have sadness and pain and all these things. To lose your mother is a very sad thing. I've gone through what you're going through, but you can have joy in the midst of sorrow by believing the message of Jesus Christ. You have eternal life now. And these things said, I want you to believe that you have eternal life. Because when you believe that, you have joy. What is joy? You know, and I've said this, you probably heard me already say this, but joy. What did the rich young ruler go away sad? Tell me, why did he go away sad? Because he wasn't looking to Jesus, that's why. He was looking to all the things he had. And so I have this little acronym. It says, Jesus first, other second, and yourself last. J-O-Y, joy. And it gives you joy when you can think of others. But you're not going to have joy unless you got Jesus first. You can write that down. Joy comes by knowing Jesus. And he says, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. Now then, in closing, I want to turn back to the last chapter of John. Brother Tom will get here eventually. I heard Brother Dale Wesley prayed one prayer when we was in Revelation. Brother Eric, he prayed the last prayer. He said, Lord, and help us get out of Revelations. He's probably praying that about John. We've been in John a long time. But you know, when we take a journey, we need to enjoy the trip. In John chapter 20, many other signs, verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, and last week I was doing a little, I was going through each gospel. It's amazing what one writer tells and another doesn't tell. Did you know that? Did you know Brother Tom was talking about Herod? Try to find Herod in John. The only time Herod's mentioned that they took Herod took Jesus to Herod is in the book of Luke. Not in Matthew and Mark and John. Does that mean it didn't happen? No. It means you need to read the whole story. There's many things that's written. And you think about the things I wonder how many books, Brother Bill, that's in the libraries of the world on the book of Romans. Just on the book of Romans. Thousands and thousands of them. Well, I've got several over there in my library on the book of John. But he said, there's many things that Jesus wrote and many things that Jesus did that's not written here. But if that's true, and it is, then how more do we need to take heed to what he did write? But these are written, he said, all the things that, not, that I did are not written, but all, but these are written that ye may believe. Why did he write these? That you may believe. He said, these things have I written to you that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Life. I believe, and I hope you believe, that there's more than one kind of life taught in the Scriptures. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. Every one of God's children have life, but do they all have abundant life? You see, the abundance of life, the abundance of your joy depends a lot upon how you conduct your life in the kingdom and in the world and among others. Obedience to his word is how we get joy and life in his kingdom. He said, the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. It's not things, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now then, the very last chapter. we're through with John for the day. Here we are, last chapter. Now, John identifies himself here in verse 24. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. True. You know, this is one of the things that Jesus said to Pilate. He said, for this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness to the truth. And old Pilate says, well, what's truth? Jesus is truth. The truth is, if it was the truth yesterday, it'll be the truth today. And if it's the truth today, it'll be the truth tomorrow. If it's the truth today and not true tomorrow, then it was a lie. Jesus said that, and Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I came to bear witness of the truth. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. He came to bear witness of that. And verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, even every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain in the books that should be written. God bless. It's our prayer. We hope we've said some things that resonate with you this morning.